to me. WSRadio.com.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good at the Christian Water Cooler.
Welcome back to the Christian Water Cooler, part of the Christian Water Cooler Radio Network, with your hosts, Bill Gruber and Kaz Taylor.
And thank you very much, Lee Maribel. You know, the Bible's prophetical books often seem like they're torn from the pages of today's headlines. My name is Bill Gruber with partner Kaz Taylor. And spiritual headlines is a captivating concept. Arthur is our guest in the studio today, whose baby this is, so to speak. What's your sense of where we are on God's timetable as you observe today's news stories?
Well, I was doing my reading of the Bible as it relates. The Bible is talking in the book of Luke about when the coming of the Son of Man will be.
Yes.
And they talk about celestial events that, if you interpret it literally, are still to come. The coming of the Son of Man, there will be strange things happening to the sun, the moon, and the stars on earth, whole countries. This is a paraphrased version, the Good News in translation. Whole countries will be in despair, afraid of the roar of the sea and the raging tides. People will faint from fear as they wait for what is coming over the whole earth, for the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, because your salvation is near. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Christians can be ready. They can be comforted. God can flip the script at any time for anything that's going on in your life. The storms come. You will persevere. God, you know, not a hair can fall from your head without the will of God. Are you not worth more than two sparrows? Your worth is immense. Your faith can grow little by little. You just press into God and you will see amazing things. And so I keep abreast of not only the biblical prophecy, like you say, but also the minutia, the little stories sometimes are the best. Mm-hmm. They are the most edifying. It doesn't have to be,
That's right.
Armageddon. It can be something innocuous on the surface. In one of the stories from today, there was a Christian Academy girls basketball team that scored a 100-0 victory against an opponent, and they got national headlines because that was terrible for what they did, and they felt terrible about it, and they want to forfeit the game. Right. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be about apocalypse necessarily.
Exactly. Well, you know, speaking of the different stories and things like that, I'm sure you've had a chance to reflect on some of the amazing stories that you had a chance to chronicle in your spiritual headlines. Give us an overview of what has happened in 2008, and what do you think God is mounting for 2009?
Well, one of the things that kept coming back, and I don't have all the answers, was something that stimulated and perplexed me, was on this possibility. Be just without saying no, don't be rushed to judgment. Just take it in. Sometimes these articles, for instance, there was a lady who had to have her heart physically removed from her body, and she lay in stasis for 4 months before they put the heart back in, and she's alive today. So the question that came out of that one was, well, there were a number of them. One thing that I said was, through collaboration, God and man will jointly usher in immortality, a foretaste of the new earth. Will keeping a person indefinitely alive trap the soul from ever reaching the hereafter? Can one soul depart if the host body is still artificially kept alive?
Well, those are all pressing questions that scientists would love to know, too.
Are soulless bodies zombies? And so the life extension, we moved into other areas. I gathered some of the stuff in preparation for coming today here. There was an issue of the tomb of King Herod, evil King Herod, who authorized the slaughter of innocents, had just been unearthed. Well, now here comes my, you know, fantasy science fiction background. I was thinking along the lines of the Mummy, you know, like the movies, and was, you know, a force unleashed. Sometimes is it us who are co-conspirators, or is it only us, or is there literally a force like in, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark that gets unleashed when you enter a tomb, etc. Another thing, a blastocyst is an early stage human embryo. Is that a person? Does it have a soul? If so, are souls subject to freezing indefinitely? There are a lot of embryos that are in frozen chambers. Do they have souls? Does God permit the soul to remain in stasis frozen? If not, then begs the question, when does the soul get put in?
Exactly.
And can the soul be extracted before something horrible happens like abortion? Before the vacuum cleaner, I don't want to be too graphic, goes in, does God take compassion and go, no, you're not going to be able to do that, and reach in and pull out the soul?
Wow. You know, here's the thing that I've discovered in my time with the Lord, and that is I used to be holier than thou and say, you know, these things are too reverent for me to even discuss with you, Lord. And then the more and more I get into a growing relationship with the Lord, he goes, hey, you know what? I put your mind in you. I put your heart in you. Ask me the tough questions. And you may not understand the answers, or it may not be timely for you to understand those answers, but it's okay for you to ask. And when you look at some of the headlines here, it is kind of a springboard to say, what about you? What's your take on this, God? And let him give you some input on that. And don't put some parameters around your doctrines and faith that exclude God giving you bigger pictures on things.
The issue of the possibility of soul hibernation, spiritual cryogenic suspension, we don't have the answers. Are we forbidden to ask? No. We have, for example, another article that took place, a fascinating one to me, so I forwarded it along. In the Muslim faith, if you become an organ donor, it falls within their religious beliefs under rigid circumstances that certain human anatomy can be kept alive without a soul.
Wow.
And the quote was, it is the responsibility of the doctors to decide whether what they call clinical death conforms with the religious definition of the soul's complete departure from the body and all its organs. If there is even a slight chance that the person could recover, he should be given that chance. Otherwise, the removal of an organ would be considered murder.
Wow. So if you're in the Muslim faith, it's probably not a good idea to donate your organs, but it doesn't say anything about pianos and guitars.
Guys, I have one more thing as it relates to that particular, you know, it was on the issue of soul transference. Now, we're talking about extra-biblical things. When I was teaching youth, for example, as a director of youth programs for church, for a Chinese church in San Diego, I used to play around with the youth group and ask questions like, what was the flavor of the bubble gum that Jesus favored? Well, the kids would be up in arms. You know, there's no scriptural evidence for that. You know, I say, what was the name of the first girlfriend that dumped Jesus? You know, when was Jesus' first tooth that had a cavity pulled out? And, you know, they would be up in arms. You know, I used to love to tease them to death. This issue of soul transference, there are evidence or at least affidavits of people who have received body parts from other people that say that they acquire a feeling from the person that was the donor. Does there exist a signature imprint of the human soul passed on from a heart transplant donor to its recipient? Well, I don't have the answer,
for example. Here's the thing, my listening friend. God has answers to these. Some things just may be too high for us, and that's fine. He'd just say, you know, worry about taking care of your spouse today. Thank you very much. But other times he'd say, you know, call unto me and I will answer you and I'll show you things that you do not know. And when you dig in, believe it or not, my friend, Scripture has answers. Scripture has the patterns of God are there. For example, when you talk about things like this, it brings to mind Scripture teaching on what the Bible calls familiar spirits. So familiar spirits may be one application of this. If you're taking on something that belongs to another person, and a spiritual influence that was influencing either positive or negative, that other person can also influence you. I mean, there's just so many different things. I don't want to get too far out here, but I want to suggest to you that receive all things with readiness of mind and then search the Scriptures daily to see if they're going to be so. And as you do that, you're going to realize how God expands you. In some instances, he may pull you back.
Yes.
So you pose these questions in your headlines at spiritualheadlines.com. You pose these questions. Do you offer answers or solutions to those things that you pose?
Well, sometimes I have to include a not, quote, not an endorsement, but for you to reflect upon, because some of the topics sometimes are incendiary, they're volatile, we don't embrace it, people don't see it eye to eye, but I love the fact that it creates dialogue. Sometimes I include my two cents. I say, you know, I demand justice for this. This is a shame what's happening. Sometimes I don't have the answer, but I throw it out there. And I think there's a collective consciousness that's going on. People are participating in corporate prayer. And I receive emails from people responding to the articles, sending in follow-up articles that relate to it. And then I submit it on the following day, etc. So I'm very held accountable by the readership at large.
So one of the things, that's got to be gratifying to receive feedback from those that you're sending out to. Because sometimes it would be easy, like we sit here behind a microphone, and unless we get feedback, you just wonder if you're talking to the great space out there, and nothing's happening. But you're getting feedback from people that helps kind of generate some more enthusiasm for what you're doing.
Thank you. And don't lose heart too. You like Cass said earlier, if you forward the headline for the day along to somebody, you never know if down the road it'll have an impact. It may not have an immediate impact. You may hear from somebody a ways down, but it will have relevance. Things are sent not at random. They're sent to people with specificity.
That's right. You know, it reminds me of a Bible scripture where it talks about the book of Ruth, and Ruth came back from the foreign land and back to Israel, and the Bible says she happened to go to the field of Boaz. She just happened to go there. Well, I have to smile when it says she happed upon the field of Boaz. And of course, she and Boaz, you know, were the ancestry through which David came and eventually the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to smile and say, it was not happenstance. God knew what was going on there. So even the smallest little thing that you do in obedience to God has major ramifications.
You know, one of the things that I recall many years ago, my wife and I were double dating with another married couple, and they weren't Christian. We were at the time and still are, actually. But we said as we entered the car that to each other that we're going to witness to the wife because she seems really willing to receive the Lord. So we witnessed throughout this double date and went away from it thinking, man, we really planted some seeds in her brain. Well, it turned out later on they separated, got divorced, and he is the one who accepted the Lord as kind of the result of that conversation that night in the car. And so you really never know how God's going to use what you do. And certainly the headlines and things that you're doing with your ministry have impact beyond that what you even know.
Let me add to what you just said. This is not church. The church is church. When you gather together, it could be at a restaurant. I am currently attending worship services because of people that attended a restaurant and they were finishing up their meal and they were having a little cognac, a little dessert, and they just started praying, and I just invited myself into the conversation. And there is an incredible movement of the Spirit where two or more are gathered. It doesn't have to be necessarily at a sanctuary or a mosque or a temple. I meet at a house church. Some of your readership, I mean, your listening audience have heard of the Roots in San Diego. They have been tremendous to me. The people there are really in the movement of the Spirit.
Is that Tim?
Tim Crozier.
Yeah, right,
yes.
Right.
May I tell you what I thought was the main story for 2008?
Amen.
The main story to me, was the following, and you didn't hear nothing. You heard bupkis about it here in the United States. The report said in September of 2005, before a prominent 108-year-old ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbi named Yitzhak Kaduri died, he wrote a small note that he requested be sealed until after his death. In the note, it is claimed he named Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The note was reportedly signed by him, Yitzhak Kaduri, in the month of mercy. Says the report, a few months before Kaduri died, he surprised his followers when he told them that he met the Messiah. Kaduri's son, Rabbi David Kaduri, confirmed that in his last year, quote, his father had talked and dreamed almost exclusively about the Messiah and his coming. My father has met the Messiah in a vision, he said, and told us that he would come soon, unquote. The most striking thing, now this is my writing, about Kaduri's manuscripts, other than naming Jesus as the Messiah, says the report, were the cross-like symbols painted by Kaduri all over the pages. In the Jewish tradition, one does not use crosses. In fact, even the use of a plus sign is discouraged because it might be mistaken for a cross.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And, you know, these are the kind of the news behind the news and the headlines behind the headlines. And it's wonderful to come to sources and resources where you can actually discover these things, where you don't know where to look for some of these things. And you have the different people who've been called as part of their ministry to help you expand your ministry by showing you some things from behind the scenes. I appreciate that, Arthur. And boy, what a story is that. What a story is that.
I think we're headed for some great, great movements. And I think that as this gains momentum, there will be more great stories that come out. And we have follow-up stories sometimes of a tragedy. And then we prayed about this, and now suddenly things are going good for this person or this event or this country. So, yes, two or more. It doesn't take a whole army. It doesn't take a village. It can happen in the smallest of, in the comforts of your home.
So exactly. We're talking with Arthur of Spiritual Headlines. And again, the way to contact Arthur is at headlines@spiritualheadlines.com. And I suspect you'll respond pretty quickly with either a personal note or just put them on the list.
Yes.
And so, that's something that you want to check. And I did that today. I'm going to be starting.
That's good. And my listening friend, see what God has for you. Don't put a border around your faith. Just say, you know what, God, if you want to tell me, I'm available to listen. And find out what he does, because he's going to amaze you. He's going to amaze you. Arthur, it's been great having you.
God is great. Praise the Lord. I hope your day goes terrific, everyone.
Okay, Arthur, thank you very much. And we've seen how today's news may provide a spiritual roadmap for living tomorrow. It's all the more reason to learn to trust the Lord. He knows what tomorrow holds for you. We're out of time, but we're going to see you in the archives. From the Christian Water Cooler, broadcasting from WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WS Radio.
The worldwide leader in Internet talk.